great deep, and the insightful day where we're introduced to very, very wonderful principles of Dharma. So Maharaj introduced the Dharma house. Maybe I should actually go over. So you can just bring that model back up. Maharaj introduced the Dharma house. So we have this model that is here. And also there were four fundaments upon which the entire house was built. Can anyone name one of those four fundaments upon which the Dharma house was built? Yes.
Compassion.
Okay, compassion. So that was one of them, yes. Truthfulness. Someone else?
Purity.
Discipline. Okay, and the fourth one was?
Inner
and outer purity. Okay, so these four represented what's called the Dharma Codex. And the very powerful point that was being made here is that we cannot think ourselves into our Dharma, but we have to act ourselves into our Dharma. So the idea is that by living according to these principles, the path of our Dharma will actually begin to unfold within our own lives. So then also, it was explained that the walls of the house also represents our activities and our place in terms of our Swadharma, and that as we move through that, we will start to understand more and more about what we are meant to be doing, and that becomes more clear. So today, we're going to deal with this particular aspect of the Dharma house, which is the roof. This is the Sanatana Dharma. So Maharaj is going to speak on what we also call the Atma Dharma. So there are different types of Dharma, the Dehi Dharma, Deha Dharma, which is the Dharma of the body and how to behave in this world. There is the Mano Dharma, which is the Dharma of the mind. And Atma Dharma, which we're going to be hearing more about this morning, is the Dharma of the soul, which is represented by the roof. So without further ado, we can give three loud Hari Bols to Sachinanda Maharaj, and then we can begin.
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol! Yeah.
Thank you. Express a little something before we start the second day. I have a great anxiety in my heart, a little worry. The worry is that that I am not perfectly clear to all of you. What we are doing here in these Bhagavad retreats is we are trying to find a deeper access to our spiritual practice so that very much wow, this is really wonderful. Very creative gala to work. Very artful presentation of the gala. Thank you. We are trying to go deeper in these retreats so that we will be able to bring our Pandavasena group to a higher level of excellence. I'm a little bit in anxiety because in our movement there is only now a little understanding of formal training and the need to give a systematic approach to our philosophy. And I'm a little bit worried that you put this presentation into one of the drawers in your life. The drawer is, yes, we heard a lecture, yes, it was nice, yes, we laughed a little, and we now conveniently put it away and we will not reuse it. And this is a constant critique of outsiders to our movement that it seems that your people don't really evolve. They stay in a certain space, in a certain understanding, which is called out there in the world certain concepts, or in religious terms a certain dogma. But there is little or only very poor realizations. So in our Bhagavad mentorship meetings, what we really want to create is we want to bring you who are mentors, that is who take care to coach people or to advise people in their spiritual development, we want you to get a little deeper understanding of this, how to do this, how to counsel them. And you might have noted many times people come for you and they ask, where's my place, what should I do in life? It's these ordinary questions which or ordinary, I didn't want to say, these common questions which we get a lot. So on this Dharma module we are trying to give you some tools whereby which you can help the people, because once they find their place in the universe and in their life, and once they understand what they are meant to do, they will be eternally grateful for you, to you, for helping them. My worry is, to be very honest and open with you, and I think we know each other well enough that I can be so blunt, is that you will think, yes, this is a lecture, yes, from this Maharaj in Germany, he speaks such funny English, and you will do what most Hare Krishnas do. You will never look at your notes, and God forbid, you will not introduce a new practice in your life. This you will absolutely not do. So this is a great worry. It is a great concern, because let me be very clear today in the morning with you. All this will only be of use and manifest its tremendous power when you understand it by application. Yes, you heard it properly. You have to do it, and only then you will understand it. Otherwise, it will be only a concept. And just like health is not a concept, you know, you are either healthy, you can't think I'm healthy and have a cold. You know, health is not a concept, it's an experience. So Dharma is really not a concept only. It is an experience. For this, you must get off your theoretical platform of life and act. And so today, I would like to just chant a verse with you. And because you might think, oh, Dharma Codex, that's so new. That's not what Prabhupada says. I don't have to do it. You know, let me stay where I am, Maharaj. Why are you always so uncomfortable? So this will help you a little. This is a verse which has to be understood in context. I think you knew that Parikshit Maharaj, the grandson of the great emperor Yudhishthira, was now the emperor, and as he was ruling his the world according to the principles of Dharma, a great, great problem arose. He could understand that in his kingdom, Kali Yuga tried to make its entry. What he came to know was that the cow and the bull, the personifications of Dharma, were attacked viciously, like it had never been done before, by a low-born sutra who posed to be a king. He had weapons in his hand, and he had already beaten the bull in such a way that three of his four legs were broken, and he was lying bleeding in agony on the ground. Dharma was in great danger. So Parikshit Maharaj ascended on his war chariot. It was not the chariot for leisurely rides, and with a sound which resembled the rolling of thunderous clouds, he approached the place of crime, and he didn't take care of the Shudra, the criminal. First, he first asked what happened to the Dharma, the bull of Dharma. So this is the text. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So please chant, be there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Parikshit repeatedly addressed and questioned the bull, thus, O son of Surabhi, who has cut off your three legs? In the state of the kings who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Personality of Krishna, there is never anyone who is unhappy as you. Purport. The kings or the executive heads of all states must know the codes of Lord Krishna, generally Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and must act accordingly in order to fulfill the mission of human life, which is to make an end to all miseries of material conditions. The codes help you to make an end to all miseries. One who knows the codes of Lord Krishna can achieve this end without any difficulty. In the Bhagavad Gita, in a synopsis, we can understand the codes of Godhead. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same codes are explained further. In a state where the codes of Krishna are followed, no one is unhappy. Where such codes are not followed, the first sign is that three legs of the representative of religion are cut off. The three legs are discipline, inner and outer purity and compassion. Only a little bit is left of the last leg. What is that? Truthfulness. Thank you so much. So when these are cut off, all miseries follow. When Krishna was personally present, the codes of Krishna were being followed without question. But in his absence, such codes are presented in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam for the guidance of the blind persons who happen to be at the helm of all affairs. May I request you, Shubhasham, for this very decorative table, which is just there. Can you just place it here, please, because there's so many things that I need to put this here. My dear devotees, if I know of any reliable method. The ideal is the Bhagavatam. You should never sit higher than the Bhagavatam. So let me see this. I really do not know if any more reliable method to find your Dharma than to act by the codes of Dharma. I must confess to you that I'm a nature lover. I know that here in Buckland Hall is a beautiful nature, but my constant distress is that I have so much to meetings during the day that it is not possible to explore the nature to my full satisfaction, but I have been already in the hinterland and the behindland there, and have seen deers there actually. And what I have noted when I was exploring, as I do this regularly, when I have a minute time, I go into nature and you see these beautiful paths, and you don't know where they will lead you, but as you walk them, you will see all what is left and right. You will see hills, rivers. I followed one path here and brought me to a beautiful river here. Everything is revealed as you walk the path. And this is the same with Dharma. So many people who come to you will ask you, I don't feel happy. Something is wrong with me. And what is always wrong is that the person is not well situated, both in his material life and his spiritual life. And it is your duty to somehow help them to find their place and what they're meant to do. And that's not easy. Many, many people in this world have no clue about this. And there is a big, big industry. Really, I've been on the internet with some assistance. I myself don't know how to do this. And there's so many selling methods which sell to high prices. I hear there are coaches, you have to pay 1,000 pounds and up to 10,000 pounds to attend a training session. And people want to find out this. Not only our people, but the people who are outside. How can you, from a level where you don't really know so much, where you feel discomfortable and where you are controlled by so many influences in your unenlightened personality, how can you from this position find an enlightened place? It is only some concepts which may give you some hope for some time. But Dharma, health, is something very real. We don't need health concepts. So Dharma is also the pulsating life, the vitality of true Dharma. And in my own experience, the most reliable method to come in contact with one's Dharma is to follow these Dharma codexes and then watch how the things in your life will change. For instance, if you would be for 1 week perfectly truthful, you would see some of your friends will leave you. Hare Krishna. You will see many things in your life will change if you absolutely cling to that rule of truthfulness and even give up the little emergency lies, and the little things we are accustomed to. It's by the power of Dharma that things are moving. Dharma, my dear devotees and my dear skeptics, is the most powerful law which is given by the Supreme Lord to everything in this creation and every being in this creation. And this Dharma can best be found not by thinking and pondering, but by acting dharmically. That will bring you to the level where your Dharma reveals itself. It's just like here there is a river. I have seen. Maybe some of you have not seen. But if you go the path which brings you there, after some time you will find this very, very vital river. There's a lot of falls. Good minerals are in the water. And so on and so forth. So find your Dharma by walking your Dharma. very important point of yesterday. You might forget everything, and as you are a Hare Krishna, you will forget most probably everything. But four things should you should put four post-it in your mind, which you should bring with you. That is, act in truthfulness. And when you have seen something is true, be disciplined in doing this. Don't be lazy. Discipline is what brings your life up. Laziness is what brings your life down. Try to keep your mind free from this constant pollution of the inner enemies, that the lust, greed, illusion, and so on and so forth. By doing things which make your mind pure, pure literature, pure sounds, from the radio, from your bhajan library which you have on your computer, good bhajans. You should hear. Create a pure, encouraging atmosphere at home. Take off the pictures which are not pure from the walls. Put pure pictures there. Create an environment which will help you in your life to live a pure inner life. And then be compassionate. Share what is with you with other living entities. And you will see within a very short time, it depends on you, how much you put into this, you will come to a level of knowing the place and your activities. Your whole life will change. You will see almost invisible hands, the hands of Dharma carrying to your place and revealing your activities. Now, as Buddha Bhavana said, this was the fundament which we dealt with yesterday in some detail. You will get a training newsletter, where I will give you a few practical practices how you can put this fundament in your life. But please, already when you get up for breakfast, start your dharmic life. Do something. They're very important. Don't just think. Do something. Maybe a compassionate act where you serve others. Maybe instead of lying to someone and being tricky, you are truthful. Yes, understand, I'm so serious because I have this anxiety. Yesterday I got an envelope where pounds, English pounds. It was a golden envelope where my ticket was paid. Yes. If I don't do my job well, if you leave this and you have no change in your life, then this was a wasteful expense. I have wasted your money. Oh, and I will have to work hard to repay it. So I'm really full of anxiety that you take this seminar home so that I don't have to, slave. Good. Fundaments. They must be practiced. If your house has no fundaments, there will be a little quirk in nature and boom, the whole thing will collapse. Next point, I will not do the walls now, it means practical activities. Buddha Bhavana will lead us to an amazing exercise where we will get a clue of what is our nature. I hope I will look with the eyes of an eagle on Buddha Bhavana's performance, and so on. But I want to talk today about the roof, that which connects you with what is above you.
Are you ready for some poesy?
Poesy? No? Yes? Are you ready for some poesy? silence, bored silence will reach a third lecturer. Okay, if you're not ready, I will, anyways. Oh, brother, when you finally close your eyes for the last time, where will be your house? Where will be your fame? Where are your friends? Your wealth will stay in your safe. The animals of your house will remain at home. Your relatives might come with you, but only up to the funeral pyre. Your body will stay with you, but only up to the time when the fire comes. Everything and everyone will leave you, except your Dharma. Only your Dharma will travel on with you. Nice, then, that's all the Buddha. My dear devotees, anyone who is born will die. Therefore, this place is called Mrityu Loka, the world of death. We tend to forget this, especially when we make our plans for our life. In fact, we can't really plan our life if we know everything is will be futile. If you know you have to evict a room after one day, will you put pictures on the walls and furnish your room with curtains and chairs and tables? No, you will be demotivated to do this. So the last thing we can deal with is when we make plans for life is to confront the ugly reality that people die. In Mahabharata there is a discussion between Dharmaraj, the king of Dharma, and Dharma itself, who is Yamaraj, the lord of death. They all are in charge of Dharma. The questioner and the answerer are all known as Dharmarajas. In this meeting, Des asked the wise king, "Can you tell me what's the most wonderful thing in this world, please?" And Yudhishthira answers, "The most wonderful thing is that although every day innumerable creatures go to the abode of death, still everyone thinks himself to be immortal." Why is it that we fail to see the obvious? It is because our eyes are fixed somewhere else. Our attention is not there. In the same way, in this way, we fail to see our mortal end because we are attached to things. Our stream of thought, our energy of life is streaming away from the obvious and toward the places where we hold our dear attachments. So everything in this world of matter will leave us. Our body will die, and as the light of perception extinguishes at the moment of death, it's almost like the lights are shut off and we can't hear anything, we can't see anything, we can't smell anything. Life gets gloomy. Just a few days ago, I had an eye-opening about this. There was very, quite honestly, my birthday celebration, and those who congratulated me for my birthday spoke something. Amongst them was an elder, an old lady. You could see when she came to the microphone, one of her feet was already standing in the kingdom of death. And she said, I want to talk today about the experience of old age. For the young people, that like, woo. And she said, when you get old, everything and everyone fails you. You can't see properly, you can't hear without a sound, what did you say? You can't taste, your digestion is not working, you put something in, but it is not digested. And the most difficult thing which you experience is you feel like a parasite in society. You have no use any longer. There's a German lady, they feel very quickly, like easily like this. Maybe the English not so much, but and that is extremely distressing. People deal with you out of politeness, but not because you are any longer contributing to their lives. She said, "This is the gloomy aspect of becoming old." But because I'm following the path of Krishna consciousness, there is a bright side to it. Now I know where my shelter is. It's Krishna, and I take shelter. And as she was talking, because I'm not so stone age old, my words don't have the power of realization, but as she was talking, we all felt, wow, thank you very much for telling us firsthand what it is like. So, if you make, the point why I'm mentioning this is, if you base your life on Deha Dharma, that is, on the Dharma of the body, only you make a huge mistake. This will all leave you. The body will leave you. It will be burnt to ashes. Some of you, I recommend you, go to the crematorium. Yes, I'm serious. And see how the coffins are rolling into the fire of cremation. It is an eye-opening experience. We, most of us, base our life on our temporal physical existence here. And this is very, very sad. We are opting for ultimate defeat if we do that. Some others are cultivating manodharma, you know, emotional well-being by following the codes of truthfulness and compassionate interaction with others and so on. But your mind is also not who you are. It fails to reach the soul. Therefore, you should follow besides your the Dharma of the body, the Dharma of the mind, the Dharma of the Atma, which is called Atma Dharma. It has various names: Jaiva Dharma, Nitya Dharma, or as it is known in your vocabulary, Sanatana Dharma, the eternal Dharma. It's very important. Without this, your life lacks the most essential dimension. Srila Prabhupada described the Dharma of the soul in this way. We must discover the essential part of the living being, that part which is his constant companion. That constant companion is his eternal quality. And that eternal qualities also is eternal yoga. The constitutional position or dharma of every living entity is the rendering of service to his stomach. No, good, you were awake. Just checking. The constitutional position of every living entity is the rendering of service to... You know everything. To the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So my dear devotees, this morning I want to ask you a question. Who are you? Are you your name? Are you your virtues or your sins? Are you your deeds and your achievements? Will any of these live your life for you? Are you your hands or legs? Your brain or your heart? Your innermost thoughts or your secret moods? I ask you, are you your body and mind, or are you inside of them? My dear devotees, look back into your life. See yourself as a child with several toys, a teenager with many questions, a young adult with an education and his own rented apartment. Now look into the future. Don't be afraid. See yourself growing old. Ghanashyam, I see your gray hair. With a tired body of an old, exhausted man or woman. All your many roles have changed now. But throughout all these changes, you were always there. Who is that you? From childhood to youth to old age. Your body has changed many times, but you have always been there throughout these changes. Who is that you? Krishna, trying to serve you. So I would like to now do an exercise with all of you, which will be the Mayat exercise. Another exercise will be today where we actually face our own death. But this will be, this will be a Know Your Dharma meditation. Now some of you are in great danger of falling asleep because you just didn't go to bed yesterday. You were too excited to meet the members of the opposite sex. I'm preparing you for something. I mean it dharmically, you know, talking, no more, not less. I would like you now to, nevertheless, I will, if I see you, go asleep, I will talk very intensely and then you come, I will shake and tremble. But please don't force me to do this. I like to be cultured and gentlemanly, especially before breakfast. So, I would like you now to sit straight, either on a chair or on the floor, and take some time to settle down. I request you to put your mobile phones to the side to see if there's anything which is disturbing. If you feel you're better off in a chair, please take a chair. We want you to sit in comfort. When you're ready, please close your eyes and start to observe your breath. Just observe it. And you breathe in. I'm aware that you now are inhaling. When you breathe out, stay with your breath by observing. I request you now to make a long exhale, and while you do this, make the beach syllable hum. We'll do it one time for you. What you will actually see before your inner eyes as you listen may not exactly match with what you hear. That is fine. The idea here is not to enter a certain scene. The idea is to enter a certain consciousness where we will be able to scout our Dharma. Trust the wisdom of whatever shows up. You may find some symbols, some stories. Some of you might go off on a tangent. Wonderful. Whatever shows up may be something which helps you to find your Dharma. All right. You are outside on a meadow at the foot of a mountain. mountain is covered by a very old forest with big ancient trees. It's a pleasant atmosphere, not too warm, not too cold. You look towards that mountain covered by big trees. There's a path leading into the forest. Take that path. See the trees. Listen to the sounds of the forest. Maybe some chirping birds, some rustling or the leaves, the wind goes through the trees, and smell the fragrance, the refreshing fragrance of the forest. Feel the touch of air on your skin. Walk with an easy step at your own pace. There's an attractive clearing in the forest, and at the edge of that clearing, inside the mountain, an entrance to a cave. A cave looks very inviting. As you go through the mouth of the cave, you are entering something which looks like a small temple. It's like a temple-like cave. Inside the cave is very clean. There's a peaceful atmosphere. Through an opening in the ceiling, a mild light enters. Indirect light. You see a bench which invites you to sit down. As you settle on the bench, you feel very much at peace. Yes, you are in a protected area. Now, where you are so at peace, ask the Lord whom you trust and who's your Supreme Lord to kindly come if need be. Pray, dear Lord, since a long time I'm separated from you in this material world. In actual fact, I'm only yours, your eternal servant. Please, whatever way you choose, come into my awareness. Maybe you see your favorite picture. Maybe you see your favorite deity. Become aware of the Lord to whom you relate as your Supreme Lord. Krishna? Is he Krishna? Is he Rama? Notice the Lord. You're face to face with the Supreme. Notice his expression, the eyes, the mouth, and ask now for guidance. What am I meant to do? What is my unique talent which you gave me when I came to this world? What is it that I still have to learn and practice in my life? What is your advice for me? These questions are so important for you and would be so good to get a hint from the beloved Lord. We will ask the questions again. This time we will practice the art of listening. What am I meant to do in my life? Listen. What is my unique talent which you gave me when I came in this world? Listen. What is it that I still have to learn and practice in this life? What is your advice for my life? Time is up. Notice how the Lord whom you have asked to appear leaves or disappears. Stay in the space in which you are now, because now some important work has to be done. Ask for any part within you, anything which has a voice in you, like for instance your critic, what are his concerns? Is it practical what you have heard? Can you live it? Whatever voice wants to speak now, patiently hear it. Is there doubt? Are you maybe not sure? Gratefully acknowledge all possible concerns. After all, these voices have your best interest in mind. Make creative and resourceful suggestions how you can intelligently respond to these concerns and still implement your Dharma. When you are finished, complete the exercise by mentally taking your leave. Slowly move out of the cave. There's a sunlit clearing. You easily find the path back. See the forest, smell it, hear the sounds, feel your environment. Take your time to return to where you have started your journey. You're again on that meadow at the foot of the mountain. Take some time to go over the questions you've asked and the answers which showed up. What am I meant to do? What is my unique talent which you gave me, my Lord, when I came into this world? What is it that I still have to learn and practice? What is your advice for my life? Once again, over everything that happened for you. Now kindly take your hands, bring them together, that the palms is, and slowly rub your palms against each other. Then bring your palms to your eyes and cover them like you do when you do palming. After some time, when you are ready, take the hands from your eyes and by bringing them slowly onto your knees, look into the palms as if you are seeing them for the first time. Return to your room awareness, and after some time, I request you now to turn to your neighbor and share as open as you feel comfortable. Maybe there are some things you feel not so comfortable to share at this moment. So share as open as you feel comfortable what went on for you when you were in that cave. This is the signal to start, and you will soon hear the signal to end. We have not so much time, so please try to get at something which is essential. Something which we live so fast paced, my dear devotees, so like this in our life, and we don't digest often enough and think deep enough. So this is sometimes useful. But there are other methods which are equally as good, if not better, to contact this trusted source who is, after all, the pivot around which our whole life turns. I'm speaking of the Lord. There are other methods. A very, very good method is a daily and reflective reading. We were talking about this in one of the earlier retreats, where you read until something strikes you, and then stop reading and just reflect about this point which you get from Shastra. After all, the Lord has spoken these books, and these books are still active, they are vibrant, they are alive, they can show something which is known in the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as Shastra Kripa, the mercy of the scripture. It's an amazing practice to obtain Shastra Kripa. Very often, the Lord whom you worship makes himself known also through discussion with trusted Vaishnavas. And this is the underlying idea of the mentorship program. As we engage in with an open heart and with a searching heart in discussions with the senior devotees who are placed in the positions of our mentors, the Lord sometimes speaks through devotees. Who has experienced that the Lord sometimes seems to have spoken through devotees? Many, and you know, this is Krishna. You say, Prabhu, what you said, this I feel is what Krishna said. I can see and hear Krishna speaking through you. Now, I think we all have experienced this, but I want to today, where I talk about finding out the ultimate things and making contact, not so much with the self-help methods, which are in abundance in our Dharma module, but I want to say, go to the trust at the source, go to the Dharma maker. He knows what is your Dharma. The Dharma maker knows. So one is this, today I did this little meditation with you in the cave. The cave represents that space in our heart, the sacred space, which we talked about earlier in other retreats. It's a very important part of the Vedic way to, again and again, you know, contact the sacred space inside. But for some of us, there are other methods which might be much more fruitful and fruit-giving for us. Like, for instance, I said, reading in the scriptures. Reading and experiencing the Shastra Kripa. Or then going to the active agent of the scripture, that is devotees. My dear devotees, I'm 100% convinced that by this mentorship program, which all of you are participating in as mentors, I understand that some of you are mentees also, that we are creating a forum in which the Lord can reveal Himself. It's very, very important. That is the spiritual principle behind Sadhu Sangha, that you develop what is called a Matihi. Matihi is an inner orientation, or in modern English, an inclination towards Krishna. In that Sangha, it will come, and your Sanatana Dharma will become much more vibrant and alive for you. A third process to go to the Dharma Maker and receive answers is the process of prayer. Prayer at the deity, lotus feet, so on. I remember we had one Govardhan retreat, and Bhujan Prabhu and his good wife Jagatarini Mataji were there, and they had a close relationship with Srila Prabhupada, and they would sometimes ask him questions. So when they lived in Vrindavan Dham, Prabhupada had the installation of the Krishna Balaram temple. Some of you might have seen it on videos and so on. And after the installation, Prabhupada said, "Now Krishna Balaram are there. Troubles and problems are over now. Whenever you have some problem or some question, go to Krishna Balaram." He had that faith. Jagatarini told that in Mataji in the Govardhan retreat, and Bhujan Prabhu had also heard how Prabhupada had directed us to Krishna Balaram to answer our relevant questions. Well, prayer is a way to make eye contact with the Dharma Maker, and that will practice prayer. And when you pray, practice this little art which we are not always good in, the art of listening. These are three methods. I have many methods, and today we will do another method, which, as far as I'm concerned, is the best one I have. It will come today after Buddha Ravana Prabhu has the presentation of the workshop. That Sanatana Dharma is best known for Krishna directly, your eternal relationship with Him and the activities you do. But the Lord can help you also to find your Dharma in this world. Pray. You know what I always pray? I found the best way for me to pray is, which works magic, "Please, my Lord, show me my next steps. Show me my next steps." And since I do this quite secretly, you have to do it regularly. You have to do it, let us say, yes, regularly. My mother, my old mother, has German housewives have a pinboard where they pin down the shopping lists. So much curly flour, so much yogurt. Oh, the salt supply is out. So much salt is required. And things they have to remind themselves of. Pay the bill to such and such. Call this laborer to repair the shower. It is not working so nicely. And so on. So on that pin board, it's called das Haushalts pin board in German language. Household. You have household. It's a very similar language in this term, in this case. Next, in this household's pinboard, you find a little piece of paper. It's pinned there. There's only one item on this paper. It says, he will show you the way. He is not her husband. It's Krishna. He will show you the way. My mother told me this. This is how I solve all my problems, she told me. He will show you the way. Turn to him. You know, when Prabhupada visited us in Hamburg, I was unfortunately not here at the holy, but I was, I'm also not now, but I was still doing my nonsense. But I listened to the lectures which he gave. He said that Krishna is there the moment you turn to him. What is our problem is that we don't turn to him. He's waiting there. Just imagine. He's waiting there next to you, so close. And what are you doing? You're turning to self-help members. Hare Krishna. How disappointing. Learn to turn to Krishna with prayer. He's the Dharma maker. He will show you the next steps, which eventually will become your way, which eventually will reveal to you your unique place and the activities of your Dharma. Hare Krishna, I've reached the end of this presentation. Is there, just before breakfast is almost ready, is there one brief question with you? Yes, Abhishek. Yes, we can give you a microphone. After all, you are our mixer. Sound mixer.
Just quickly, when you're saying that prayer is a powerful way, but we need to remember to practice listening.
Yes.
What did you mean in terms of in prayer? How do you practice the art of listening?
How do you practice the art of listening in prayer? When you do your prayer, and then you have to adopt a very humble mood, because, you know, answers only come to someone who is receptive. Or to put it in physical terms, water only flows from up to down, from high to low. So if you don't bend down low, then you will not be able to receive an answer. You just wait there in a mood of a receiver, where you are patiently waiting. If anything comes, if nothing comes, all right, keep on trying. One day he will speak, for sure. He wants to speak. Prabhupada is, I know this part in our Krishna consciousness is often not mentioned. It is called experience-oriented Krishna consciousness. There are many phases which, you know, we with all our super organizations sometimes overlook. For instance, Prabhupada told us to turn to Krishna. And he said, what do you think he will do? Will he speak or will he not speak? This is a lecture like this. Will he speak? Can he speak or can he not speak? Will he speak? He will speak, but not to the nonsense. So therefore, the fundament is so important, this dharmic acting. It will keep you, it will make you a serious person. So the art of listening is basically to come into a position of mind where you are humbly waiting, or you become a receiver, so to say, of divine grace. Thank you. Well, very good question, Abhishek. I'm getting to know you more and more each retreat. Good. I will have more questions and answers in the upcoming sessions. I don't want to take your time now. I wish you a wonderful breakfast and a good fire of digestion. There's our Siam Bhopal. He will just wait, don't rush.